they come, but one is that you take over, you win all the political seats, you become the political ruler, and then you start taking Islam and saying the people become good Muslims. This is the concept which most people like and they think it is right, whereas it's not right. They say, no, we must win the parliament seats, come into power, and once we come into power, then we tell the people, read the mass, give zakat, go for hajj, become Muslims, adorn the beard, put the farda out, or we start whipping and lashing you, or we start cutting the hair, then start stoning. Then when the person wins the political seat and he comes into parliament, even he comes into majority, when he starts to bring Islam to the people, people are not ready for the Islam. The Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, from this incident, you can gather clearly that what he is doing, he is not going for the kingship, he is not going for the political seat, he is not going to say, give me the wealth, I'll start using the wealth. And then when I come on top, then I'll bring, I'll tell the people to accept Islam. No, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam starts from grassroots level. He starts from down. Coming downwards goes upwards. And when you come down and you go upwards, then when you reach your top, the people at the bottom are ready for Islam. And when you go on top and you start enforcing Islam onto the people, people are not ready for Islam. That is why we have got so many in the international globe, all over the world, so-called Muslim countries. So-called Muslim countries with so-called Muslim political constitutions, but no Islamic prevalent, or very little Islam prevalent in those countries. Why? Because you have got the political control, but the mass down there are not ready safety, because the iman is not ready of the mass, because you have not prepared on the mass, you have not worked on the mass, you have not met the people, you have not told them to strengthen the iman, they are not ready for the law enforcement. So the concept that no, Rasulullah was a political leader and he dealt in underground politics and he got into political power is wrong. Because you have to start at the bottom and go on top, and when you are top, then you can enforce the law. There's one point on it. The second point is very simple. That if you look at all our political leaders, Muslim good political leaders, that they had this concept, that they had this belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rabb, they had them imbibed in their blood. Irrespective of which part of the world it is, if you have to pick up a political leader, a good Muslim political leader, you will see that before he became political leader, he was one of the best Sufis of his time. If you look at Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani Rahmatullah Alayh, his teacher, Hazrat Maulana Mahmoodul Hasan Rahmatullah Alayh, the lives of Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gogoi Rahmatullah Alayh, Maulana Radhoti Rahmatullah Alayh, Maulana Abu Balaam Bazan, Maulana Shaukat Ali, Maulana Muhammad Ali. Look at all their lives. And if you study their lives in detail, they had so close contact with Sufism. They had so close contact, and they had a firm belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our Rabb. Ikhwanul Muslimin, whom the youngsters and the youth shout about, their founder, their leader, Sheikh Al-Hasan Al-Banna Rahmatullah Alayh, he was a great Sufi. People talk of his political ideologies, but who will talk about his Sufism? Who will talk about his tawajjud? Who will talk about his namaz and his pavad and adherence and conformity to Sharia, and not prepared to give one sunnah away? But what happened that we want to take the so-called political part of him and leave all the rest? At this point here, you must bear in mind that if you want to enter the political field, that you have better enter the political field when you have got all your adherence to the Sharia, you have got it in order. And you have got this firm belief that if I am in jail, Allah is the Rabb, Allah will provide for me. That if I am left alone in my political struggle, Allah is the provider, Allah will aid, and Allah will sustain, and Allah will nourish me. Every political leader, without fail, you know what I'm talking about. We are not talking about the pseudo-politics and the pseudo-political leaders. who come into power for name, glory, who, if you look at them, you can't even see Islam. If you look at their actions, you cannot believe that Muslims are doing this. Those I'm not talking about. I'm talking about good, sincere, humble political leaders who understood Islamic politics. And this is another point which you must understand, that half of the people, for example in South Africa, who shout about Islamic politics don't even know the A to Z about Islamic politics. They don't even know the basis of Islamic politics, but they will say we are talking about Islamic politics. And confront them, ask them, that you are talking about Islamic politics, what is Islamic politics? And they won't be able to tell you 5 minutes on what is Islamic politics. But everybody is prepared to talk Islamic politics. That is why you get two types of knowledge. One is completely correct, and the other is false, and it is batil or batil based on that. Allah Rabbul Izzat in the Quran Kareem uses two words many times. This word Rabb and another word Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses in the Quran Kareem is called Ab. Both Arabic words, Rabb, I told you what it means, and Ab means father. Ab means father. Sounding same, Rabb and Ab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses about fathers and how Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam was addressed by his son, how Luqman alayhi salam spoke to his son, how he gave him advice, all those things. And these two words have got similar meanings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in reality is our nourisher, provider. He upbrings us up, He brings us up. He sustains us, maintains us, cares for us, safeguards us, protects us. And our father, our metaphorical provider. A child may have a feeling that my father is nourishing me, my father is sustaining me, my father is my provider, my father is doing things for me. But the child must be told that I am a means for this provision, that I am just a medium for this provision. But in reality, the provider, the sustainer is our Rabb Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, the moon has got no light of its own. The moon has got no light of its own. But the sunlight, the light of the sun, goes up to the moon and the moonlight comes up to us. So you cannot say the moon has got light. That is why the Arabic word in the Quran Kareem concerning the moon is used. The word is used in Arabic showing that the moon is reflecting. The moon is shining. And when it comes to wherever in the Quran Kareem concerning the sun, you will talk about the sun giving off light. And the scientists have proved that the sun has got the light of its own and the moon hasn't got the light of its own. Similarly, the father, the Ab, compared to the Rab. The Ab, the father, is the metaphorical provider. Externally, you may feel that the Ab is providing, the father is providing. But in reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using the father to provide. And these things must be explained to all and sundry. Another thing, the Ab and the Rab have got in common. That Rab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, does not like any partnership. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like any partnership. Shirk is the worst sin. And it comes in the Quran Kareem that every sin will be forgiven. And every sin can be forgiven. And every sin will be forgiven by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except shirk. Except ascribing partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether these partners be by the zaat or sifat, qualitative partnership or be partnership. Those who say, no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is 2-3 or 200 or 2 billion. Or those who say, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hearing, others also hear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes difficulties, others also remove difficulties. Now, the father also does not like to have partnership. See, you have got a person comes and asks you questions. Then, how many brothers you got? You will ask, you will tell him, I've got so many brothers. The person you will ask him, how many wives you got? He will tell, I've got so many wives. Well, I said, you go, I asked him, listen, how many sons you got? He said, I'm proud of you, so many sons. How many daughters you got? I got so many daughters. But you dare go and ask the person, how many fathers you got? You ask the person, how many fathers you got? And imagine how angry and how close that person will get that you tell him how many fathers you got. This quality is the same quality Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot forgive you. How can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have a partner? And how can a person say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got a partner? And how can you give, or how can you say that a person who says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala got a partner is going to be forgiven? Partnership to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is done, and is done directly and indirectly. Directly are those people who say got idols, like for example the mushrikeen of Mecca and Medina. They started ascribing partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This idol for this and this idol for this. Shams, Hubal, Laat, Manat, Uzza. And various names and various idols for various things. They believed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Must remember that the mushrik of Mecca believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he also said, oh, they are division of labor going on in the place. That if you want the son, then you go to that god. If you want the daughter, you go to that god. And if you want food, you go to that god. And if you want the river Nile to flow. For example, in the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when the river Nile refused to flow, then the governor at that time, the Muslim governor, stopped the practice there. Why? Because those people said, no, if you want the river Nile to flow, then you must sacrifice a virgin maid there and let her blood flow there. Then the river Nile God will become happy and the river Nile will flow. Yeah, it's a similar situation, unfortunately, many parts of the world. They say, you must have this and you must do this, otherwise the peer sahab will get crossed, and if the peer sahab gets crossed, then your rosy gets cut. Your rosy will stop, your sustenance will stop, your providence will stop, and you won't get this. You must have this 3-day fatiha, this 10-day fatiha, the 40-day fatiha, and you must have this anniversary for this pious person, otherwise that pious person will get crossed, and then your shop won't get barakah, your shop there won't be any good day, you won't have any profit, and your business will fail, and your cow will stop giving milk, and your cow will start giving trouble, and this will happen, that will happen. All this is baseless. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not waiting for the fatiha of the peer sahab that he will become happy. This is actually ascribing partnership to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That in the times of difficulty, that the people start calling others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That in times of problems, you start calling others in times of difficulty. And look at the Abiyah alayhi salatu wa salam. Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wa salam. When he was in the belly of the whale, when he was in the belly of the fish, who he called? He called Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who provided for him? Who was his Rabb then? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He did not call any other person. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam, his father is a Nabi. Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wa salam, when Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam was put into that well, who provided for him there? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided for him there. And who did Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam call? Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam did not call his father as a Nabi. He did not call for that. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, going to the cave of Hira, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, going to Taif, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, making hijrat, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who did he call all the time? He called Allah and Israel. And this concept, and this belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must be happy with him. That Raditu billahi rabba, wa bil Islam deena, wa bi Muhammadur Rasulah. What is dua is recited after the dua which we generally recite after the dua of azan. This dua can also be recited. And Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, they fully accepted Allah as their Rabb. And they were happy with it. You see, what is that you accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our Rabb? And what we are happy with it? And this is where the concept of difficulty comes. Every person in his life goes through difficulties. Whether he is rich, whether he is poor. But he must be happy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is my provider. You're out of a job, you're in the job, you are making money, you are not making money, you are making profit, you are not making profit. that under all conditions we should have the firm belief that Allah is my provider, that Allah alone is my Rabb. See, the expedition of Tabuk, Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala brought their contributions. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala brought half of his contribution, half of his household he brought. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala brought everything. And when he brought everything, then at that stage, when he brought everything, he was dressed. He was dressed in tart clothing. Tart meaning coarse clothing. And he had no buttons. He had thongs as buttons. And standing before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bring all his belongings to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the battle of Tabuk. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa looked at Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he asked him, what have you left there? So I've left Allah and his Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told Hazrat Abu Bakr that Jibreel has come. Hazrat Jibreel has come and is giving you salah. And Hazrat Jibreel is asking, is inquiring, are you happy? Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala was saying that I'm happy with Allah. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam then says, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Hazrat Jibreel says, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Hazrat Jibreel that today you are dressed in this fashion. You are dressed like how Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala was dressed. Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jibreel, I see you are dressed like this. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that all the angels of the earth today are dressed like this. All the angels of the earth are dressed like this. Why? Because Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala who has fully understood this concept that Allah is Rabb and Allah is, and I'm happy with Allah is my Rabb. Today our problem is that we are not satisfied with the material benefits Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us. We are not satisfied with the voluntary boons and favors Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us. We are not satisfied with it. And we want more all the time. The greed of wealth has ruined us. The greed of the world has demolished us. And the greed for the materialistic world has put all our efforts and energies in that direction. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam says that all the angels are dressed like this. All the angels of the skies are dressed like this. He said all the angels making tawaf of the base of Amur are dressed like this. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes the action and the clothing in which Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala is standing with him. And likes his action so much that we are instructed and commanded by Allah that we must dress like this. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam says that the hamili the arsh, that the angels that are holding the arsh, they are also dressed like that. The angels protecting the Lohe Mahfuz are dressed like that. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam says that every angel in this, the earth and the sky are dressed like how Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam says that the famous angels, Mikael alayhi salam, Israfil alayhi salatu wa salam, etc., they are also dressed like that. How they were able to get the status of Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala was made because they were pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were pleased that Allah is my Rabb. And today, that shortfall in profit, shortfall in materials, shortfall in our commodity, shortfall in our food, we cannot even pay. Because we want everything in a golden place. Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, when they were put into the wadi, they were put into the valley of Abu Talib for 3 years. Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum should have dates and water bottles. Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they were chewing leather at that time. Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, they were eating the leaves of the tree at that time. But no one moved
Prabhak.
Lord moved towards falsehood. Lord moved and said, I must give up falsehood. I must give up truth. Sahaba Ikram fully understood this concept that Allah is our Rabb and we are pleased and happy with our Rabb. And this, if it comes into the Muslim's life, if it comes fully into the Muslim's life that Allah is my Rabb, then he is now achieving something. Now he's going in the right direction. Now he's moving constructively in the correct direction. Because he is now contacting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as I told you, every reformer, every mujahid, every political good Muslim leader has this firm belief that Allah is my provider, nourisher, sustainer, under all conditions, under all circumstances. Why? Because they understood that Allah is our provider and our nourisher. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ability. I can carry on, but inshallah next week I will try to complete and then we will continue. This is our first lesson on that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our Rabb. And this lesson is very important. This jumla of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very important. The first three ayats of Surah Fatiha, the first three ayats of Surah Fatiha, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us how we must praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last three ayats of Surah Fatiha is where the bank, where the Muslim is taught how to plead before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is for him. And how you must plead before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how you must ask before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how you must cry before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the middle ayat, Surah Fatiha has got seven ayats. And the middle ayat, the fourth ayat, half is the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and half has got to do with how you must plead before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A simple thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us. But as I told you in the beginning of the speech, that the whole of the Quran al-Kareem is contained in Surah Fatiha. The whole of the Quran al-Kareem is contained in these seven ayahs. And that is why every word which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen there has got so much meaning and there are so much things we thought about. People these days, they say that no, we must read all the whole Quran al-Kareem with the translation, etc. We'll understand what the Quran al-Kareem has got to say with us. If we can understand few words of the Quran al-Kareem, and we can get our sense of direction right, and our belief right, and our aqeedah right, then alhamdulillah, we become good and practical Muslims. Because when you have our concept right, that Allah is my provider, then when we enter our shop, when we enter our business, when we enter our institute, when we enter our work or job, we fully know that if Allah wants, He will not give birth to this. If Allah wants, He will not give hair to this. That is why you will see, there are so many people of this world, Muslims of this world, they have got millions at their stake. They have got millions at their disposal, but they cannot even sleep 1 hour a day. There are so many people, they have got so many shops and factories, Muslims, but there is no khair, no barakat in their lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has occupied them and preoccupied them that they have got, you know, haven't even got time to make sizzah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many Muslims who are so wealthy have got money coming out everywhere, but they have got not blessed with children. They are not blessed with goodness. And so many Muslims got so much wealth, but they have to take secularizers and sleeping pills before going to sleep. Why? Because there is no khair, there is no barakah, and there is no goodness in what they are doing. Why? Because things are not done in conformity to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another thing which has crept up, that a person feels that I have done this. A person, he builds his empire, he builds his mighty factories, he builds his wealth, and he builds a huge thing, and after a while this thought comes into him. And this thought comes in that all this you see, I judge it. All this you see is because of my sweat and blood. And all this you see is because I work hard. And all this you see, it is my soul, blood and sweat. And you talk to Muslims and they will express these things to you, unfortunately. That these things I did. These luxuries that I have got, I have done it and I have achieved it. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, within minutes He changes the situation. He turns the rich into the poor, the poor into the rich. Look at Burma, what happened. Look at India, Pakistan, what happened. Look at the countries around us in Africa, what happened. The people who were wealthy, people who were so-called spelling rich, And people will say that these factories and these properties, I have achieved it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed the situation overnight. Overnight there were new rulers there. Overnight there were new shop owners. Overnight new factory owners. And those who were owners were workers. And those who were workers were owners. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does these things. And he does this often in history to wake us, to show us that he is the Rabb. He is the Rabb in reality. He is the sustainer in reality. He is the nourisher in reality. He is the provider in reality. And look at the birds. And look at in our own country. That so many people, if you have to draw sickly data and statistics, and you have to draw weight scale, and if you have to draw cost of living, and if you have to draw this thing on paper, you cannot believe that half of the population is living. Draw it when you go home. That I am earning so much and my expenditure is so much, I am able to make two ends meet. But that person who is earning far less, and that person who is exploited, and that person who is not getting wealth, and that person who is not an owner or a landlord, and that person who is not getting so much wealth, and then see the cost of living and see how he is coming on. But alhamdulillah, you will see by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they are not dying of starvation. Who is providing? Who is nourishing? Who is sustained? Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not require this finance to sustain a person. He does not require the monetary value to sustain a person. He does not require all these other things with you when I feel that wealth, then I will sustain. Property, then I will sustain. Big bank balance, then I will sustain and maintain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not require all these things to maintain and sustain a person. Because the billions that have been sustained and provided for. And one blanket statement I will make here and explain later, that the idea of birth control, the idea of birth control, that you must have birth control, and you must control and have family planning. And why? Because there is no food on earth. That is a fallacious statement. Look at so many countries in the world which have got a tremendous population. There is no starvation there. Why there is no starvation? Because food is provided to the masses. And make research in our own country and the countries in the America, etc., that there is so much food produced and destroyed. You read the newspaper that so many billions of gallons of liters of milk have been destroyed. Sugar has been destroyed. Bread, flour has been destroyed. Sugarcane has been destroyed. Basic commodities have been destroyed. Why? So that the control board price must be maintained. So that the price board does not suffer. So that the export-import rate does not suffer. So that the financial so-called stability in the country does not suffer. So that the price that has been maintained is still maintained. All the food is destroyed and does not go to the right places. And it is done, and the papers report it. And those countries where, for example, where there is a food problem and food is being provided by other nations, there is no food shortage. But it goes into certain departments and then bribery and corruption comes to such an extent that the poor guys don't get it. Why? Because this concept that I must have family planning, I must do these things, why there is no food and there is no money in the house. This is a complete concept which the Quran and Kareem and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says categorically in the Quran and Kareem that do not kill your children due to fear of poverty. Hadith says clearly that a child comes with his own risk. Hadith, another hadith says that because of the feeble in the family, because of the weaklings in the family, certain times in the family, the incident with Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali was very weak. Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali was sickly. And Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali's brother, Mawlana Yahya, he had a bookshop. And Mawlana Ilyas should not work so much in the bookshop. So the manager of the bookshop told Mawlana Ilyas's brother that your brother, he does not work. And we are paying him, he does not work so much. So Mawlana Yahya Rahmatullah Ali, and Ali Bhakti, he reminded the manager of the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ. Don't you know Rasulullah ﷺ said that sometimes the families are provided because of the weaklings in the family. Sometimes what happens in our families, in our community, we have certain people who are mentally retarded, who are weak, who are crippled, who are feeble, who cannot work. And they should not be regarded in their family as burdens. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be providing because of them, because of His mercy, because of looking at their conditions, He will be providing for us. The concept that whatever I work for, I strive for, I earn and I eat, and that is it, this must come out of the mind. Then we will be able to strive with the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will be able to spend with the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How the Sufiya Ikram radiallahu ta'ala, how they spent. Hazrat Rabi'a Basri Rahmatullah Alayhi, what he, a person during iftari time nearby, she was making iftari, came and asked for bread, roti. She had one, she gave it away. Meanwhile, in the locality, a wealthy person decided that though he must send food for Hazrat Rabi'a Basri. And he told the servant that, listen, take this 10 rotis and go give it. The person wave of the way coming to Hazrat Rabi'a Basri, Rahmatullah Alayhi, the house, he decided, no, 10 rotis, the lady, please eat. Let me eat wada. So he ate wada. Coming to Hazrat Rabi'a Basri, he gave the roti.